Have you been wandering through life with no purpose? Are you looking for a catalyst to change your life for the better? These Servant Leadership podcasts will change your perspective of yourself, others, and your creator. This transformational leadership approach uses seven simple tools to help you understand your purpose in life. Please join Dave Kuhnert and Chris Seegers for today's podcast.
This is Servant Leadership podcast number 14. The two circles. We are not born a winner or a loser. However, we are born a chooser. We're going to talk a lot about choosing and the ability to have choice in our lives. We talked in the past about having a structure for life, there, here, and a path, and it's everywhere. We have some place we're trying to go, the there, and we have to have clarity of it. We have a here, which is about current reality, and a path that links the here to the there. Along that path, we're going to have to act, learn, and adjust. And we said servant leadership is all about influencing others to get there. I want to influence them to get there. And to do that, I have to have clarity of that there. And then we said we also want to have a transcendent there for our own lives, something that gives us a direction in life, not a goal, not a milestone, but an actual there. We want to have goals or milestones to help us get there, but we don't want those goals or milestones to become our there. Becomes idolatry. When we went into this whole idea of the mood curve, and really that's where most of this takes place, is this path is the mood curve where things start off going really well for us, a new project, a new endeavor, and then pretty soon we end up realizing it's going to be more difficult than we thought, and we go into the pit of despair. And the only difference between my pit and your pit of despair is the depth. If you've had a death in the family, it can be pretty tragic. It can be overwhelming, where I may feel sad, but not overwhelmed, because I've dealt with more death in my life, or I understand it better, or I have a different belief system. This mood curve and this pit of despair, though, is where leadership happens. And this is where we tend to get hit with all these emotions that we talked about recently. This feel, act, think, or the feel, think, act. All the emotions start to come into play. And how I respond to those with my systems thinking, system one, two, or three, is it the natural response of serving myself, or do I shift into system three and try to serve them? But we get hit with these emotions, and then we have the opportunity to choose. So have you ever been in traffic and got cut off? Well, we all have. And what's our immediate response? Well, it's usually not good. It's emotional. You've ever had your authority challenged? Have you ever been fired from a job? Have you ever had anything bad happen to you ever? Well, if you have, you can understand what we're going to talk about in today's podcast, which are these two circles. When something unexpectedly bad happens to us, we tend to find ourselves playing the role of victim. Well, here's a short story called The Hapless Bartender. On February 12th of 1809, a boy was born to two loving parents on the frontier of Kentucky. His family moved to Indiana when he was very young. When he was 9 years old, his mother passed away. The young boy took her death pretty hard. He was raised by his father and his 11-year-old sister. The boy loved to read. Books were hard to come by in rural Indiana, but he managed to track down some and became very self-educated. And as a teenager, his family moved to Illinois, where he continued his love of reading and education. He was doing very well for himself as a young man and decided to go into business with a partner in a tavern. The young man was only a minority partner in the tavern, and after a few weeks of bartending, he decided that this life was not for him. He let his partner buy him out and decided to move on with his life. Shortly after leaving the partnership, our hapless bartender was called into court. His old partner had evidently faulted on some debts. The judge told the young bartender he was now responsible for a sizable portion of the debt. Our hapless bartender argued his case to the judge. He stated he was only a partner for a couple of weeks and he no longer had anything to do with the business. The judge didn't see it his way and ordered him to pay the debt. The debt was a very sizable one. The court seized his horse, his house, and most of his personal possessions to pay it off. Our hapless bartender had to be feeling pretty bad about this. How could this be happening to him? This was not fair. It wasn't his fault. How could this be any part of God's plan? He was in what we call the victim circle. He was able to borrow the money from a number of close friends and get back most of his stuff. The young man counted his blessings and vowed never to get into the tavern business ever again. 6 short months later, he was called back into court. His old business partner had died and was in a tremendous amount of debt. The judge ordered a hapless bartender to pay the full debt for his deceased partner. The young man argued vehemently that he was not even an interest owner in the tavern. He should have nothing to do with this debt. This was unfair. The judge told him that if he wanted to stay out of trouble, he should study the law. He should attend law school and learn not to get himself into bad business arrangements. Defeated, our hapless bartender decided to do just what the judge suggested. He picked up some law books, and he passed the bar to become an attorney in Illinois in just under 2 years. And as it turns out, he was a pretty good lawyer. In 1846, he was elected to the Illinois House of Representatives, and in 1860, became President of the United States. You see, Abraham Lincoln did not know why he was being forced to pay those fines. He originally went into the victim circle and then decided that God had him where he wanted him for a reason. He had a choice. He chose to move into the circle of choice and affect his life, the people around him, and his circumstances. Had he not found himself in a poor business relationship, or had he decided to remain a victim, history might have been very different. So Abraham Lincoln felt like life, people, and circumstances were all happening to him. He was a complete victim. In reality, all it took was a change of perspective to move into the circle of choice. So this tool, another really easy tool to serve others with, it's also a good tool to serve yourself with. It's like an individual moment of truth with yourself. So if you'll imagine 2 circles, one on the left and one on the right. The one on the left is a red circle. The one on the right is a green circle. The one on the left, our red circle, has a big me in the middle and has 4 arrows that all point in from different areas along the circle that point towards the me. And on the outside of the circle, it says life, people, and circumstances. This is the victim circle. This is the circle that causes us to react and respond. This is life, people, and circumstances happened to me. Well, our circle on the right, the green circle, is the circle of choice. This one has a big me in the middle, but the arrows point out to the outside of the circle where we have life, people, and circumstances. This is the circle of choice that says, I can choose to affect life, people, and circumstances. I don't have to let it happen to me. I have a choice. So Abraham Lincoln, when things initially happened to him, as we all do, jumped into that victim circle. It took him some time, but after a while, he was able to change his perspective and decide that there was actually something that he could do about his situation. And he chose to do that. But I think we all know people who live in the victim circle, people who are very comfortable being in the victim circle, maybe because they're enabled, maybe because they get pity, they get attention, whatever it may be. But in reality, what we need to do is help those people see that they actually have choice. And just drawing these 2 circles on the back of a napkin over coffee and asking them, what circle are you in right now, can be very beneficial. When you have somebody who's behaving as a victim for long periods of time and they can't seem to self-arrest, to change their perspective, remember the 3 things we can control: who we trust, our attitude, and our actions. This is how we change our attitude. We decide, I'm no longer going to be a victim. I do have a choice, and I'm going to change my attitude right now, and it's going to affect my actions. I'm going to choose to move on. I'm going to choose to see the positive of this. I'm going to choose to say that God has me where He wants me for a reason, and it's His reason. I'm going to choose to say He's asking me to change course right now. He's asking me to be closer to Him. He's asking me to learn patience or humility. That's the circle of choice.
So these circles, too, go back to self-governance totally and kind of the whole proactivity versus reactivity deal. You know, if we're accountable and we realize, hey, our choices have effects and that, you know, we can either be proactive and create a path and create our transcendent there and walk towards that, or we can let life happen to us. And when we let life happen to us, it's easy to become the victim.
If you'll imagine, the path is that pit of despair again, that that downward trend on the graph where everything bad seems to be happening to us. This is where, if I'm moving in the circle of choice, I can stay committed to the there. When bad things happen, I can choose to be committed. When I choose to remain a victim, I'm giving up or I'm giving in. Either I'm giving up to what's happening, or I'm giving in to the sin around me, or I can choose to keep going. And to keep going is the circle of choice. And that's what it is. To change your perspective is a choice. No matter what's happening in your life, you have a choice. You can choose to see things differently, or you can stay as a victim. You can stay as a victim and pity yourself and hope others will pity you too. Nobody wants to be around that person. You're not serving others if you're pitying yourself. When you're focused on yourself and making life about you, the big flashing me on your forehead that only everyone else can see and you can't. So sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what circle am I in right now? It's a simple moment of truth I'm having with myself. And when bad things happen, we initially, the emotional flash usually sends us into the victim circle immediately. But if we can recognize, I just gave up choice. I'm a slave right now, and I don't want to be a slave. If I'll just self-arrest and change the way I view it, change my perspective, I can be in the circle of choice. I just need to self-arrest. I need to recognize right now I'm in the victim circle. I need to choose a different attitude. And we all know people like this. So we can help them identify it. Just draw two circles on the back of the napkin, write me in the middle of both circles, and one, point the arrows out, and the other, point the arrows in. The arrows in is the victim circle. The arrows out is a circle of choice. Life, people, and circumstances. Do I let them happen to me, or do I happen to them? Another way you might describe this is as the cue ball on the pool table of life. If you're the cue ball, you're the one hitting all the other balls. That's the circle of choice. Or you can be the eight ball, where all the other balls hit you. That's your choice. It's how you decide to view it that makes the difference.
So do you have a good example of this in the Bible?
Yeah, so if you look at the book of Jonah, a short book in the Bible, the book of Jonah is all about the two circles. You can see it right off the bat. Jonah, who God says, hey, Jonah, I want you to go to Assyria, and I want you to tell them that if they don't give up their evil ways, I'm going to destroy them. And Jonah's like, yeah, right, I'm not going. So Jonah decides to travel away from the area God wanted him in. So he gets on a boat, and as that boat's heading out to sea, he thinks he's hiding from God, which obviously he couldn't do. God decides to send in a big storm. And the sailors on the boat are like, hey, what's going on? Did somebody here do something against the God of the sea? And Jonah finally confesses after he wakes up, finally confesses and says, no, it's because of me. I screwed up. My God is the God of all gods. And he pretty much is mad at me right now and wants me to go somewhere else. So throw me in the sea. So he immediately went to this victim circle and said, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. I want to feel sorry for me. I'm going to be a victim. I don't have a choice. He's making me do this, and I'm going to choose to run away from him, and I'm going to be a victim. And then he just gives up on the boat. So the sailors end up eventually throwing him overboard, and he gets swallowed by a giant fish. And he's in the fish for a while, and then he finally comes to grips with the fact that he's going to do what God tells him to do. So for a brief moment, he kind of moves into the circle of choice, and God says, okay, he has the fish throw him out on the seashore there in Assyria. So Jonah goes in to do God's bidding, and he talks to all the people and the rulers of Assyria, and he tells them essentially, hey, my God is going to destroy you all if you don't change the way you're doing business here and quit sinning. And to Jonah's surprise and maybe dismay, they did quit sinning, and they decided to make sacrifices and do other things to please the Lord. And ultimately what happens is God decides not to destroy them. And what does Jonah do? He goes into the victim circle. I told you, God, I told you, I knew this would happen. If you sent me here and told them not to do this, now they're not going to die. Now they're not going to be punished for everything they did. So Jonah again goes into the victim circle. So he's supposed to be in Nineveh right now, spreading the word, telling them to move away from sin, and they actually do it, so he gets upset. The people believe God and proclaimed that, yeah, this is the right thing to do. So they all, they get mercy from God, and Jonah gets upset. It says right in Scripture, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Emotions, emotions, emotions. So he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious God, a merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving, in loving kindness, one who relents from the doing harm. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life. For me, it is better for me to die than to live. It's a little temper tantrum he's throwing right there. He is a total victim right now. And the Lord says, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah leaves the city. I kind of picture him in my mind just kind of stomping off into the desert with it pouting like a little child. And there he made himself a shelter, and under it he sat in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant, about the only time he's grateful other than being spit out from the fish. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. Then he wished for death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Again, he goes into this victim circle, and God says to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, is it right for me to be angry even to death? But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between the right hand and their left, and much livestock? So God's saying, I didn't kill all them, and who are you? You weren't around when I did all this. I created the plant. Why are you upset? And Jonah really got upset. He became a total victim. He's continuously living in the victim circle.
It's really funny, too, when we read the book of Jonah, whether it be in church or Bible study or just on your own reading, we're so judgmental, right? We're like, oh my gosh, how could he not have learned through all these things after he's in the belly of a fish and he gets spit out? You'd think for the rest of his life he would be grateful, and he goes back to the victim circle. But I think if we kind of slow down, man, we're Jonah so many times in our lives. I mean, where God gives us so many amazing things and he asks us to do something that we don't want to do, and immediately, or puts us through a bad portion of our lives to teach us something, and we immediately say, God, why are you doing this to me? How could you do this to me? I don't deserve this. And he's doing it for our own good, which he was doing it for Jonah's good as well as the folks in Nineveh.
Yeah, if we think back to Abraham Lincoln again, if he would have kept that mindset of, God, why are you doing this to me? He would not have become the president of the United States. He would not have changed the history the way he did. Instead, he chose to look at things differently. He decided to choose a new perspective and trust God. So it's those three things we can control are so intertwined with this. And we use these two circles more prominently when we're in the pit of despair, when things don't go our way, or when somebody interferes with something that we want to get done. And you can also use these to think about how I do life. Am I being proactive or am I being reactive? Am I living life intentionally? If I'm living life intentionally, I'm in the circle of choice. If I am living life unintentionally, and I'm letting life happening to me, I'm all about react and respond. I'm in that victim circle, and that's how I do life. I'm not being proactive. So we can look at these and say, how can I be more proactive? Well, that's somebody's in the circle of choice. How can I be more intentional? I'm in the circle of choice. But if I'm just a victim and I'm waiting around for things to happen for me, I'm being reactive. I'm all about react and respond instead of proactive and choice.
And I think if we really dive into system 2 and 3 in our own lives, I would hope that we can train ourselves to where when we see ourselves coming into a pit of despair or in a pit of despair, that you would say, man, I'm so thankful for this opportunity to grow. And I think that's so hard to do in the moment. But if you can continue to work on yourself, whether it be in your business or your marriage or with your kids or just in your walk with God, these moments of silence where you're like, why can't I hear God? What's going on? And that's such a great time to really pour into prayer and into the word and really kind of get into, you know, getting into that system three thinking.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's really hard for us to see in the moment. If we have someone in our lives who we trust to share truth with us, if we have someone in our lives that's walking through life with us shoulder to shoulder, hopefully they will share truth with us and let us know, you need to change your perspective. And hopefully we're that someone for someone else. We really need to come shoulder to shoulder with the people around us and be friends enough to love them enough, cherish them enough to share truth, to let them know, hey, look at these two circles. Which one are you in right now? Choose a different perspective. Things are going poorly. You have an opportunity to be a leader right now, because this is where leadership happens. You have an opportunity to demonstrate resiliency and overcome. You have an opportunity to choose, and the difference that your example will make for the people around you, that's choice. You have a choice. In fact, we've talked a lot about Viktor Frankl on this podcast. He wrote that Man's Search for Meaning, and he spent time in Auschwitz and Dachau. Even he had choices. He recognized that he could control his attitude and not play the victim. This guy's in a concentration camp where people are dying around him every single day. And he recognizes, I have a choice. I still have the freedom to choose my attitude. And if he can do it under those circumstances, we should be able to do it too. We should be able to do it when we suffer the ultimate transgression of someone cutting us off in traffic, someone getting in our face or being angry, or God forbid, stepping in front of us in the grocery line or getting in that 10 items or less line with 11 items. We have a choice. We can slow down our emotions, thank God for where we are in that moment, and be closer to Him, become stronger, become more humble, and set an example for others to follow. Thanks for listening.
If you would like to offer feedback to any of the Servant Leadership podcasts, please go to our Facebook page and click on the comment section. You can also check us out online at trueservantleadership.com. Our site will soon have videos for the tools that we recommend using, and we will be adding additional content to the website in the future, including links for these podcasts. All of our material comes from the book Servant Leadership, Influencing Others to Get There by Leading a Transformational Life. If you're interested in the book, you can find it at Amazon.com. Both the paperback and the electronic version are available for order. The electronic version is only $1.99, and all of the proceeds from the book go to charity. Thanks for listening, influencing others to get there, serving others, and most of all, thanks for leading with the example of a transformational life set by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.